The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We are here for the final hour and look forward to talking to you. Let's check in with Mitch, who is up first. Good afternoon, Mitch.
Good afternoon, Paul. I'm going to give you a reason to think about writing another book.
Okay.
Have you ever put together an all Bear Bryant team?
I have not.
Okay. Put together an all Bear Bryant team and an all Nick Saban team, and then which one would win?
It's a good question.
I know you can't do it right now, but
yeah.
Do you think they would even be close?
I might go with Nick Saban.
I was going to ask you, do you think, given the error
because,
and the timing?
Because Bryant really did not have black players until his final 10 years at Alabama. And I think that would hurt him in the player for player.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just wondering.
Last 11 or 12 years, I should say, but the quality, there's great. It's a really interesting conversation, and it could easily be a topic of a really good story. But I doubt I'm probably not interested in doing a book on it, though.
Oh, I'm sure you're not. But
the book I'm going to do is really going to be on the show. Even though I did one previously that alluded to the show, I think the show has come so far since that book came out that I think this show is deserving of another book. And when I say the show, I don't mean what I do. I mean the people like you. I think a book about the characters on the show. There's still a sitcom in the works, but I don't know exactly when that's going to be developed. But a book could be done very quickly, like maybe tonight.
I don't know the show before about 2019, but COVID brought a lot of passion from a lot of people.
Yeah.
And your show was a safe place for people to talk about some hard things in their life. And that's not me just spouting some words. That's the truth. That's what made me fall in love with your show. And, you know, that being said, I ain't your nephew no more, so I can't keep on.
I don't know. You might become my son after this call. forget being a nephew. They're not always cut into the inheritance. Most sons are.
The sons are the first ones to get cut out.
The sons do pretty well. And by the way, if you're looking for my inheritance after the last couple of weeks, there won't be any. There's nothing left.
You can't even get blood, huh?
I may have to go to Vegas and just roll the dice.
There you go.
All the money I had been saving has been wiped out.
And you go get you a good bourbon or something tonight and sit around.
Well, I tell you what, Mitch, if I have a bourbon tonight, it'll be the first one in about 30 years.
So if we really do break bourbon together, that one little shot's going to put you out.
We're going to do it on the air, so we'll find out.
I think that's illegal.
Is it illegal to drink bourbon on the air?
Yeah. As long as you don't sell it.
We got the Commonwealth as part of our little family here. I don't think anybody in Kentucky is going to be upset with me drinking some Kentucky bourbon. It is from Kentucky, isn't it?
No.
Oh.
Oh, well, now we're in trouble.
Where is it?
It's Tennessee.
Oh, well, if it's Tennessee, bourbon, then we got you covered. That's even better.
Sweetens Cove, you know, the golf course.
I'm much closer to the leadership in Tennessee than I am in Kentucky. We're good. Don't you worry about it. I will just drink until I can't stand up sit down any longer. How much bourbon can you handle, Randy?
All of them to get me up there.
Randy can handle a lot.
Yeah, I'm there.
I got three bottles.
Three bottles?
I don't know if I can handle that much.
we got Jamari in the other room who I don't even think drinks.
We got Lou.
Lou,
you like Tennessee whiskey? Yep.
It's smooth, he said.
We got Brams, who I don't think he's ever stopped drinking.
Wait, you sent the probably the biggest drinker, you sent him home.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Hey,
anyway. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I tell you who, if we got this guy to the studio, though, Larry, can you handle your bourbon?
Man, you have to pull my ass off a ceiling fan. I started in that bourbon, Jack. That's some strong stuff, boy. You better stay away from that. That's better than mustard gas. You don't want food with that stuff. You need to stick with beer, man.
Okay.
You know? That way you're in control of all your faculties, you know. But I love Augie worrying about me. Oh, my God, Paul. I feel so much better today. Man, I mean, he's got me a bed. And he's going to get me a six-pack and all that. That's nice. But, you know, he said I wasn't on my game when I was in the hospital bed. Yeah, you do a quadruple bypass, you ain't got much damn game left in your ass, I'll tell you.
Well, the question, Larry, is after the – now, it's been a couple of weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a long time. Wow.
So what do you got?
I drank a few beers. I had to cut back, man.
So yeah, a quadruple bypass – what's the change? What are the changes in your life? You should be feeling better, not worse.
Well, I had a valve leaking, one of my arteries leaking. So they had to go back in there and put a clamp on it.
Yeah. And you can't just put some duct tape on that? not to deviate. But these two guys wrote a book on duct tape. You ever heard the number of things you can do with duct tape?
Yeah, put it on Augie's mouth. Oh my God, that'd be great, Bo. on that yak. Yeah, duct tape on Augie. That'd be good. But I'm gonna tell you something. One thing I'm gonna tell you this, Georgia, and I won't get on to this now. Because you've been slamming me every time I call in with something good, you put it down. When I called in and said that Bennett wasn't going to be, you know, why people were leaving and going to the NFL combine and their receivers jumping ship, because he wasn't no good. But then I was wrong, and you about well pretty slapped me upside the head and just shrubbed me off. Now you act like you come up with all this, and I was the brainstorm.
Okay, so if I hear you correctly, and I know I do, you're accusing me of plagiarizing your material?
Absolutely. That is plagiarizing. Yeah, baby. That's like the plague.
I didn't throw a curve at you with the word plagiarize, did I?
Plagiarizing, that's what I said, Paul. Damn, man. I mean, ain't that what I'm saying? I mean, it's just like stealing something. That's what you did, and you know you did, just like porta potty. You stole that. You plagiarized that about porta potty. And you remember that? I said plagiarizing. That's what you did.
I have never plagiarized anything.
Yes, you did, Fine Bomb. I'd be ashamed, too. what you did, man.
You, you know what, Larry? Do me, a favor, okay? Sue me, okay?
Hey, you think I
sue
won't?
Me if I play
I
too long.
One of it. You know who I'm going to hire? It's Augie.
Oh, yeah. You're going to hire a paralegal to represent you? I guess in Alabama court, what difference would it make?
Yeah, it don't matter. Augie, hey, he must not have much clients because he spends all day, every day on this show trying to tell everybody how smart he is. And he's doing a poor-ass job of that. I love it, Paul. You know, when I'm on a damn roll, baby, I'm on a roll.
Would you let me know when you're on a roll?
I'm on one. Plagiarizer. I'm going to call you Plagiarizer. Paul Plagiarizer. Yeah, baby. Steal all my stuff. You did. You know you did. Go ahead and admit it. I don't know why you don't.
Well, you know, I mean, the key to all great comics is stealing material.
Yeah. See there? You admitted it. You admitted it, Paul.
I got bad news for you, Larry. I'm not a comic. I'm a talk show host.
That's BS. You're close to a comic, brother. You say some funny crap, baby.
I don't know about being comic, but I've been talking to you for 4 minutes, which makes me crazy. We'll take a break. More to come. We have another guest, Chase Goodbread.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
It's great to have you here, and we look forward to chatting with Chase Goodbread now of the Tuscaloosa News. He has written a number of really interesting pieces about the future scheduling in the SEC, which will be one of the big topics 2 weeks from now at the SEC meetings in Destin, and also a pay-for-play and what will happen as we share with you the headline from the T News. Pay for college athletes could be on the horizon. Will the NCAA crumble? Chase, many thanks. Great to have you back with us. So let's talk about the NCAA piece first, because it has been at the absolute center of conversation in the offseason. Good afternoon, and give us your thoughts on where we are and where could that be going.
Yeah, Paul, it's good to be here. First of all, thanks for having me on. I think the next, you know, NIL is going to command all the attention, obviously, this offseason, probably for the next couple of off seasons, and rightfully so. But I think the next iteration of change for the NCAA, and most likely in a negative way, may well come out of this next lawsuit that's on tap for 2024. It's going to be heard in California. It's called House versus NCAA. I believe an NCAA swimmer by the name of House is the athlete who brought it. And it deals with NIL in a couple of ways, but it also suggests that athletes need to be paid for TV broadcast revenues, Paul, and I don't have to tell you that if a slice of the TV pie comes to the athletes, that's going to be a game changer in and of itself apart from NIL.
Yeah, Chase, I'm glad you brought that up because there have been a few people that have speculated on this. And if you know, a year ago, giving players a chance to make a couple of bucks has now turned into a lot more than that. We're talking about something that's not even fathomable right now, and what it could do and the change it could have. I don't even know what that looks like. I realize we're just pie in the skying it here, but what could that look like down the road?
Yeah, that's a great question, and there's a whole lot of ifs between now and then. So, like you said, it's pretty speculative at this point. But what's not speculative, in my opinion, is that this is going to go beyond NIL. I think you're going to see the NCAA challenged in court. Certainly in 2 years with the House case and probably beyond, for more revenue streams than just NIL. And when that happens, you're going to see a whole lot of change, obviously, and what change that manifests, how that change manifests itself, who knows. But NIL is probably, and it's cliche to say tip of the iceberg, but I think it's appropriate to say that the NIL is just that.
Yeah, well, let me ask you a little bit about Nick Saban, because he is at Alabama, and of course, and when he talks, it garners more attention than literally anyone else in the industry. We've heard what he has had to say a couple of times lately. We'll hear more probably in Destin, but as somebody who covers him from a very close range, how would you describe his view of all of this right now?
Well, it's obvious he'd like to see, like a lot of coaches, he'd like to see some kind of regulation or some kind of reins put on NIL. There's no question about that. He's not in a small club there. He's in a big club, at least in the coaching fraternity. But I also question whether or not he can ever expect it or even hope for it. NIL, by definition, by its nature, is individual, right? Names are individual. Name, image, and likeness refers to the individual. And so I don't quite know how anybody would ever achieve some kind of an equity among all NCAA athletes with NIL, because I think inequity is kind of ingrained in it.
Talking to Chase Goodbread, Chase, you've also written recently about Greg Sankey. I know you heard him speak about a week ago, and this is one of those topics that I think will permeate the air and the beach 2 weeks from now. Is what is the future SEC schedules going to look like? We don't really know when we switch over because we don't know exactly when Texas and Oklahoma come in. But what do you think it will look like, and how different will it look from where we are right now?
I think the 9-game conference schedule is coming. I don't think there's too much question about that, other than perhaps what year it'll be invoked. But that's on the horizon for sure, in my opinion. And as far as how they're going to format the league once Texas and OU come into it, I think they're going to go with they're either going to stick with the 2-division format, conceivably maybe even scrap divisions altogether and just go at it with one long list. The concept of pods, which has been kicked around a lot, whereby they would take four teams per pod, put four pods of four teams each to accommodate 16. I don't see that happening. I asked Greg Sankey about that directly 8 days ago, I guess it was, last Monday, and he was, I thought, somewhat dismissive of the notion of pods. He didn't rule it out by any means. But I definitely got the sense from him that the four-team pod concept is not being taken quite as seriously as the others.
So I guess we need to wait, but if you're trying to figure out who plays whom, I mean, how do you do it? Because, you know, everyone wants certain teams, and probably nobody wants Alabama.
Yeah, I think the preservation of rivalries obviously has got to be big for the league. That's got to be a serious consideration. You're not going to see the Iron Bowl go away. You're not going to see – I don't think you'll see Tennessee, Florida go away, Georgia, Florida, et cetera. They'll find a way to keep those together. But what you may see have to disappear is some of the second-tier rivalries, some of the rivalries in the SEC that perhaps are appreciated more locally than regionally or nationally. Those may have to go. And it's more or less the price of doing business. Look, when you expand to 16 teams, it's pretty simple math that not everybody is going to get to play everybody else quite like you'd want. So it's the way of the world, as long as expansion is what the SEC wants to do, and they'll have to figure out what rivalries are dispensable and which ones aren't.
Another question for Chase Goodbread from the Tuscaloosa News. Chase, Alabama will be the number one team in the country. They'll be the pick in the SEC. That's all understandable. But as you watch this team, and I know it's evolving, but not much more considering the portal is closed and we have a pretty good idea what Alabama is going to look like, how would you describe to visitors from outer space what this Tide team will look like when we finally get to the season?
I think the red flag, if there is one for sure, is on the offensive line. Anybody who watched the A-Day game and saw 15 sacks, including 10 by the first unit defense against the first unit offensive line, couldn't deny that. I think they're pretty darn well set just about everywhere else, particularly with some of these incoming portal transfers they've got. I believe the number is 5 now. Incomers, and of course they're all coming in at positions of need. So I would tell that alien from outer space, Paul, that if they can block, they'll be fine, but that's to be determined.
I will. I think a few of them are on hold right now to be on this show. Chase, it's really good to have you on. We appreciate your time. We'll see you soon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We welcome you back. We have plenty of time to go, and the counselor is up next. Oh, excuse me, the paralegal from New Orleans. Augie is on the air.
Hey, Paul. You know, we've been talking for a few years now, and it's all been in fun and jest. But today, I'm sorry, this is an official call. I'm okay. Representing a client. We are filing an injunction and immediately for a cease and desist in using Larry's intellectual property. We're going to seek a remedy for equitable relief. So expect that in the mail. We're going to be entering into discovery in the near future, so please protect all old tapes. And I also am going to have to depose a number of folks, Brams, Jamari. We're going to have to call Kubiak back in, probably Dan Z, and a number of your callers.
Z.
Because they're
witness. That's a name from the past.
Blast from the past, but he's very vital.
Hey,
to our case.
Let me say something to you, and I doubt you probably ever heard this before, Augie. We have not received an official notification of the lawsuit, so therefore we will not be able to comment until we see it.
Okay, I'm just telling you what's coming. In my expert witnesses, I'm going to have Matt and Mitch and Jimmy the Cop. if you could provide me with Jimmy the Cop's information, I'd appreciate it.
In that case, I may comment right now. You got a loser on your hand. It's a dog.
Well, I don't know what Larry's claiming, but we'll sue first and figure out our facts and our cause of action later.
If you're doing that, we have just subpoenaed Larry for his entire, not only medical file, but we want his file from Shelby County when he was a law enforcement officer, especially any claims that he may have used unnecessary force on prisoners.
Totally irrelevant to the facts and instances of this case, Counselor.
Is Judge Judy going to hear this case?
I think we're going to have Judge Chris hear this case.
Judge Chris.
And I think Judge Chris.
I object on the grounds that he's no longer a judge.
Well, we'll have him as an arbitrator. How about that?
That's
he's qualified to be an arbitrator.
Why don't we start? I did a mediation once, which was one of the biggest wastes of an afternoon I've ever spent. So why don't we do that first?
Sure, no problem. We go to mediation, and if it's not satisfactory, we'll then opt to our claims in. We'll probably go into federal court, but contracts and intellectual property, copyright infringement.
From a jurisdictional standpoint, where would you have to file?
Oh, Paul, you're getting this into federal procedure now. So,
By the way, I just retained William from Maryville. He's representing me.
I was going to suggest William as your counsel.
William is so. Anything more you would like to say? You say it to him.
And I think you need to hire John as your PR guy because you're going to get a lot of heat from
John.
They're going to find out. This
John
is
from Louisville
up.
Is my guy, and his daughter will also work for us.
I mean, you're going to have people like Saturdays Down South calling and saying FonBon stealing material from impaired callers. So I just want you to know, Paul, that I'm on the case. And Larry, I appreciate it.
And
Paul,
way,
your show is great advertising.
If it's okay with William, I've already appointed the second chair.
No problem.
That will be Handsome Joe.
Wow. Okay. Now, does this in any way...
By the way, this case will be heard in Alabama.
Okay, no problem. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks. What about it, Handsome Joe? Can you handle it?
Roll Tide, roll, Paul. You better believe it, brother. And hey, but Augie, that paralegal, I wouldn't call him if my dog was in jail for chasing a cat. I mean, he don't know his butt from a ship sailing. I mean, I wouldn't call him for anything. But, you know, when I do know a little bit about mitigation because I went through that before. That's when you kind of just lawyers going back and forth, you know, trying to reach a settlement. And if I can't, you know, it goes to court. I mean, I know a little bit. I probably know more than that paralegal Augie knows about that, Paul. I probably do.
So, but Joe, from a legal standpoint, you've been in court, right?
Oh, yeah. A few times. More than once.
I bet.
But, I mean, recently it wasn't for criminal charges.
Let me ask you this, Joe. While you were in court, what color was your suit?
Only time I was in court, Paul, I wore my own clothes.
You're an Alabama guy, but I want to make sure you weren't wearing orange.
Oh, no. But like I said, when I went through my mitigation, it was a lawsuit.
What?
So it wasn't a criminal suit. It wasn't a criminal case. It was a lawsuit.
Okay. And
I mean, I've been sued and I've sued. So, you know, but you know, I had a good reason to, Paul, because, you know, I ended up putting me on disability.
Okay,
so.
Well, let me advise you here, Joe. Do not say anything else, okay? Because I don't want you to be taken back into court.
Right. Well, I mean, it's over with. It's been over with for years.
It's never over.
Well, I mean, no, you're right. It's not. It's never over because you know what, Paul? What I would give just to get back in the workforce right now.
Right.
I would give anything. And this, you know, not doing much. You know, I helped my dad, but I mean, it takes a toll on your mind. It does.
I know.
But I am thinking about Larry because Larry's not really sounding that good right now.
No,
I don't know if it's
he's not. But I will say this, and I've never had it. Fortunately, quadruple bypass takes a toll. It's a long road back.
That's right. But
the road back
Larry.
is not it's not littered with Bud Light. You need to work hard on rehab, and I think Larry thinks that, you know, popping the top is the answer.
Yeah, and it's not. But hey, Paul, when you do win presidency, and I think you need to run. I think you need to run because you would win. I mean, you'd get Democrat and Republican vote. But when you do, let legend be the press secretary, because I don't want to answer press questions. Just make me Secretary of State.
No.
I mean, just say, hey, we got problems with terrorists.
Joe, so I pick up the phone in the Oval Office, and the guy in Moscow answers it. And I'd say, Mr. Putin, before I talk to you, I want you to talk to my Secretary of State.
I'll go over there and talk to Putin.
He'd like the red part of the Red Bay.
Hey, I'll go over there and put my foot in Putin's butt. I mean, I'll give a new meaning to his name, Paul. But I, like I said, if you have a problem in Paris, just send me over.
Hey, we will elect you. It's a good guy.
Just send me out of country. I'll pack my bags and I'll go from country to country.
Okay.
You don't have to do nothing, Paul. You got a problem with Putin, just send me over. North Korea, don't send me there.
No, you don't want to. You know, it's like, cold.
No, send me to the friendly countries.
We'll send you to France. I think you can handle the French.
I can't. And if we got, you know, these communist countries, just send Jeff and Columbus. You know, let them listen to him for a little bit, and they'll change your way.
There's not a communist country out there that would let him in.
Well, I mean, that's what I mean. I mean, we can say we're going to send Jeff there, or you can surrender now.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.